Before we pray together, I would like to read a word from 1 Thessalonians, what Paul writes here, some words from the second chapter. He writes here in 1 Thessalonians 2 from verse 1, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our hearts." "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." Maybe up to here, this precious and glorious word of God, we see here this anointed man of God, how he expresses these thoughts. And we know it could not remain unsuccessful, for God ordained him for the ministry that he has given him, and he had to go to bring to the people this message of salvation. And we can say, every man of God whom God has chosen cannot remain unsuccessful, but the Almighty God and his blessing goes with him, beloved. We have heard it already this morning so wonderfully of Moses, as this man was chosen and as then others assumed to do something the same. But we see with whom God is and whom God has chosen. And there God confirmed himself and confirmed his word among his people. We are so grateful that in our days it is the same. And we can say, we don't use flattering words, but here we are told the truth. And I want to say, if we are of the truth, we will love the truth and will be happy for it, that we are told the truth. And we will thank God and will submit to his word. May he give us grace also this afternoon, that we again hear what he wants to say to us. In the past 2 hours, we were mightily blessed through the holy and wonderful word of God. To me personally, it had much to say. Last night the word, and also this morning, and we see it is so felicitous, right for our time, for our days, that we can just say, oh God, how good you are, how wonderful is your word, and how to the point. Let us now stand up and ask for his blessing. Faithful God, from the bottom of our hearts, also for our precious brothers and sisters whom you have sent from near and far. My God, your word did not remain unsuccessful. No, Lord, you are still the same. You are still speaking. When you send out your messenger, he has always a testimony when he returns that you have done great things on the individuals here and there and on many, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts And we ask you, bless our brothers and sisters who have come from various places. Bless us, Lord. Bless also those who could not come. We pray from the bottom of our hearts. Continue to speak to us. Take everything from us, what is not well pleasing to you, and what cannot stand before you. Lord, give my brother much grace and strength also now to speak, and give us attentive hearts, Lord, that we can receive everything in a good and fine heart and ponder on it like Mary did. O God, help us all, and then we are helped. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are again grateful to the Lord for the privilege to be here and to hear His precious and holy word. You notice already that my voice has suffered a bit. Brother Russ says it always gets better. But this he says by faith. And may God give it like this. It's not because of the force which is demonstrated here on the platform, but really because of the quickening power of God, which accompanies the word and comes into the heart of them who receives the word, and then comes to fulfillment what our Lord said. The words which I speak unto you are spirit and life. On a Wednesday night, the brother from Palermo left us here the thought that in the presence of God, it is always hot because God is a living fire. And he said, don't expect if God is in our midst that it is then ice cold, but rather if God is present, then it gets warm, then it gets hot, because God is a consuming fire. And we were grateful for this wonderful thought which has been expressed. What is very much upon my heart is that we, by faith, could soar to previously unimagined or unknown heights, that God could use these days to let us grow new pinions, new wings, that we could ascend in the spirit, in the faith, and have a new experience with God, not only to hear His word. That goes without saying. That's the reason we come here. But beyond that, we want to have a new experience with God. Who of you had already a true experience with God? Let me see your hands. It's a large number. Yes. Another question. Who wants to experience God properly? This looks even better. This is wonderful. Who believes that we can experience God? Yes, who wants to experience God? Yes, now say on. That's what we are here for. We believe in a personal Lord and Savior, in a living God who promised to be in our midst. And if He is in our midst, then He comes with everything what He prepared for us on the cross of Calvary, with salvation, with healing, with deliverance, with all blessings with which God blessed us, with which we were blessed in Jesus Christ our Lord. But we have to open ourselves more. We have to go along more. We must once say Amen and Hallelujah and really get started. You know what I mean. One has to become a part of the matter. I, of course, never watch TV. But when I'm in the hotel from time to time, it happens 3 times a year that I watch the news and not just hear it. And if one then sees how somewhere a match is played and all are in the matter, they rise and then they sit and then they rise again when their team is in the winning. And I thought, we cannot lose. We only can win because the Lord has won the victory. And then it should happen from time to time that we are in the matter and that we just tune in with all our hearts. Now, this afternoon, may it be dedicated to the Lord to sing and to hear the word, to worship and for a new experience with God. I asked our brother Manuel from Adelaide, Australia, that he should give us a word of greeting. But he said, I'm too shy. You do it for me. He can only be here this afternoon. And then he returns via the Netherlands. And so we would like to, at this occasion, the most heartfelt greetings that he extends them to all our brothers and sisters in Australia and wherever he meets people who love the Lord, who believe his word and who received it. Wherever this brother is now, he ducks down a bit. I don't see him right now. He left already, so he didn't duck down. He make off. All right. No, he's there. Of course is he there. Sure. So, nevertheless, we wish you with all our hearts, really all the best. He has only been in the faith for a year. And God has done wonderful and great things on him. And we will remember him in our prayers. And the Lord will be with him. I don't know whether he's originally from Indonesia. In any case, he speaks a very good German. And most of all, he understood the language of God. This is what matters. Not whether we can formulate perfectly or grammatically correct. Important is that we understood God. The Lord once asked, did you understand what I have spoken to you? And the disciples said, yes. Whether this was so, God alone knows. By faith, they said it. What they previously probably didn't know, this God has given them later on. The same we say today. What was not yet fully revealed to us, this will still be revealed to us. What we don't yet fully understand, this we will understand. Jesus, our Lord, said once in John 13, what I now do, you don't understand, but you will understand it later on. Sometimes the time has to become ripe first until we understand the doings of God. When our brother from Luanda spoke, I had to think on the wonderful meetings in Zaire. Already on a late afternoon, more than 4,000 people were gathered, a huge crowd to hear the word of God. There is still a hunger, still a thirst, for thus God has said it. There will come a hunger, not for bread and not for water, but a hunger to hear the word of the Lord. And for this, we are grateful. The Lord calls out from all peoples, tongues, and nations. To our brother, I just want to say, may God use you like the eunuch from the east. Don't wait until somebody comes. You be it who goes to carry the word of the Lord and to bring it to others. The ways of God are very different, and there is no person who can divide himself. Sometimes I also quarrel with God, not only you. And this I did time and again in my life. Only I find out when I then come to the Lord and tell him, forgive me, then I feel that he is merciful to me and that he doesn't impute these things to me. But to me, a thing happened that didn't happen since 1964. And on one hand, it made me think. On the other hand, I don't know precisely what I shall do with it. I said to the Lord, take whoever you want. I don't travel anymore. I remain where I am. Do what you like, but do it without me. I really quarreled with God. And this was on my last trip to Australia, New Zealand, Honolulu, Hawaii, Los Angeles, and New York. And when I headed for the last flight in New York and still quarreled with God in the hotel room and said, no, I can't anymore. And I don't want anymore. Take somebody else. Yes, it did not pay off to quarrel with God. And do you know what happened? I checked in my luggage as it should be done. And until today, I didn't see it again. And I, of course, thought by myself, you quarreled with God. You didn't want to travel anymore. So, I may not even think about it. But I say to you freely and openly, we are a large family in the Lord. All have congratulated me or expressed their condolences. But they, of course, didn't know what is going on in my heart. They didn't know that I, like Jonah, quarreled with the Lord strongly. And behold, I wanted to thank the Lord that this is now over with traveling. And all of a sudden comes into my house a brand new suitcase with wheels, with a whole shebang, which I would never have bought myself. It must have cost over 1,000 Deutschmark. And it now stands in my home to be packed anew. Yes, now I ask you what one should decide here. God decided already. The new suitcase is here, and I wished a new ministry would start. Something totally new from God, by the grace of God. And today, my precious sister Brandes gave me a 200-year-old violin. I haven't fiddled for almost 30 years. And now I'm supposed to fiddle again. Whether God will put music into my heart again? Perhaps with God all things are possible. What shall we say to all of it? The Lord is faithful. He has His way with us. We may sometimes, like an Elijah, put our head between the knees and say, Lord, I'm not better than my fathers were. Take my life and let me come to you. And suddenly, we hear then very quietly, but also very certain, I have kept 7,000 who have not bowed their knees before Baal. Yes, and then one forgets the dying. Then one has to bring them the word of the Lord, going upon Mount Carmel, and say, come in the name of the Lord, and decide for yourself whom you want to serve. We want to find out together that God is faithful, that He is true in all His doings, that He was gracious to us on the day of salvation. He did not let us walk on our own ways. He has placed Himself into our way to take us into His plan. As certain as we have heard the message of God, and by this we mean nothing else but God's word for this time, as certain as we heard, believed, and received it, carrying all these promises in us and ponder on them, so certain God will let the hour and the day come on which all these words of the divine promise will become a divine reality with us and through us, and we just hold on to it. No matter what happened in the days of Moses or in the days of other prophets, God carried out His plan despite of all that what might have gone haywire, despite of all trials and decisions which had to be made. Yet He had His people whom He has purchased, with whom He made a covenant, and them He brought to the destination. The same will be in our time. There is a New Testament church, a blood-bought multitude, a people of the New Covenant, which hears the words of the New Covenant with everything what goes with it and what is included. They believe, they accept, and they will see and experience what God has promised. Let us just briefly look at some scriptures. We start with a well-known word from Jude, from verse 17. Jude, probably the shortest chapter in the New Testament, very little written in it, but very strong statements can be found there. Jude, from verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
ewigen Leben.
What a wonderful word. Here it speaks of the end time, of the mockers, of them who cause divisions, who take sides, who have not the Holy Spirit, and thus causing confusion. But then comes the wonderful statement, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, maybe somebody would say, we read it this morning. If somebody prays in the Spirit, then usually this takes place in another tongue. But if you would read two testimonies from the New Testament, then we could find out that it not only can happen in a language unknown unto us, a language inspired by the Spirit, but also in our own language. We have two testimonies, the one of Mary and the other of Zacharias. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit and began then in her own language to glorify the Lord, to exalt God, and that what happened to express in words driven by the Holy Spirit. The same happened with Zacharias. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he has listed the prophetic words which were fulfilled in that time. Whether in our or whether in another language, if it can be worked by the Spirit of God, then we cannot bypass what God has promised and what He does. Just the contrary, the Holy Spirit leads us into the Word and shows us in what kind of way the Word is now being fulfilled. And therein is the difference between them who only have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as it is the case in all of the charismatic movement, and between them who have received the word of promise for this hour, and who by the Holy Spirit have received a relationship to God and to the fulfillment of His word. With Mary, it was not only a promise which she heard, but this promise which she heard became now in her and through her a divine reality. The same was with Zacharias in reference to John the Baptist. When he stood there before the altar and ministered there, the angel of the Lord appeared and spoke with him. Then came the time of silence for him. But when the promise was fulfilled, God loosed his tongue and he spoke, urged by the Spirit, mighty words of God, which were then coming to fulfillment. If the same Spirit rests today on the church, then we will receive the word of promise, receiving it and experience that God materializes it. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let us emphasize this for a moment. Whoever prays in the Holy Ghost, he does not pray around God and around the Word of God. And whoever speaks by the Holy Spirit does not speak around God and around His Word. Whether we speak in the Holy Spirit, whether we pray in the Holy Spirit, the Word of God makes up the content of our speaking and of our praying. For we know and we have recognized for what we have to thank God, right or not? If a person has not yet recognized this, then he prays scattered, that you almost have to think that he didn't sit in the meeting, but has just entered after the preaching. People who hear the Word of God, they go inwardly with and they refer to it and thank the Lord for His Word that He has spoken to us. It continues here, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is a command for us in the end time. For here it is written of the end time that mockers will come on the scene and people who cause divisions and factions, worldly people who have not the Spirit. But then God addresses those who are His possession, who are not sensually a bit intoxicated, but in whose soul the Word of God penetrated as a divine seed, to then be quickened by the Spirit of God. And to them we want to belong. I dare to say that God has penetrated us with His Word. I dare to say that God penetrates us with His Spirit, and that we may build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and that we may pray together in the Spirit of God. And if this happens, then we are one heart and one soul. Then we are tuned on the same word, on the same thoughts. We have then been placed into the divine program without us doing anything. It is and remains the grace of God. According to the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And we praise the mercy of our God, which was manifested on us. Here we read on, and on some who are in doubt, have compassion. There are also such who would like to believe, but who cannot believe yet. They don't doubt God, and they don't doubt God's Word. They doubt the whole environment. They cannot cope with themselves and with that what is happening. With such, we shall have compassion. Not that we look down on them and say, "Huh, God will also deal with you one day." But a divine compassion which does not look down on the other, but who humbles himself to the other, to help him, to serve Him, to lift Him up, and to lead Him out of the condition in which He is in, and on some who are in doubt, have compassion, pulling them out of the fire, and thus save them. God can penetrate us with His saving love. Looking down on others, this we want to leave to the scribes and to the Pharisees. There are enough of them, and they are trained in it. You don't need to teach them any more lessons. We are here to let ourselves be filled with the Spirit of God, to have heartfelt compassion and divine mercy. If we see that somebody is in doubt, then we don't speak about it. Then we pray for it. If we see that somebody is still bound, then we don't speak about it. Also not behind closed doors, but we pray and leave it to God, that He performs on the person an inner deliverance and redemption that no longer needs any private lessons anymore. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And this liberty of the children of God we wish us all. Also them who here or there have to still fight a battle. Such people are anyhow not in a very happy situation. They don't need any critics. They need people who tell them, listen, God will make it with you too. Don't you worry. In that moment, it may look like as if we would have said yes to a thing that God doesn't like. No, it's not like that. We said yes to the brother. We said yes to the sister. And we say it by faith because we are convinced that God wants to help all the people, and He will help them if they come to Him. And if it hasn't happened yet, then it can happen even today. That's what we are here for, so that God can manifest His word and His grace on us. But the same Jude also lined out things that fit nicely into the end time. He writes from verse 11 of them who have turned away from the Lord. I don't want to read verse 10 at all. In verse 11 it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. There are people who hear the word of God, but they walk on the way of Cain. And it was not good. Cain became a murderer. He became the first murderer. And then he acted as if the whole thing was none of his business. He did not even understand that he has done something what was not right before God. Being self-complacent, he says, shall I be the keeper of my brother? his brother was no more. How should he still keep him? He was already dead. What does John write in the New Testament? How can you love God whom you don't see if you don't love your brother whom you see? And then he continues and lines out, whoever does not love his brother is a murderer, and a murderer has no eternal life abiding in him. What a word! The people ignore this without being concerned about it. Shall I be the keeper of my brother? No, let your brother live. Love him. God will be his keeper. But don't hate him, for hatred is of the devil and has murder in it. Therefore, the love of God was manifest so that it can be manifested through us. There are people who walk on the way of Cain and who then deviate onto the way of Balaam and let themselves be entangled in it. And then the third phase is that their rebellion, like with Korah, comes to light and thus head into perdition. Also, this is God's holy word. Who wants to let himself be misused like Balaam to cause damage to the people of God? Who wants to rebel like Korah and evoke perdition? No one of us, but there are enough who walk on this way. And sometimes, although I cherished much hope in me, the conviction creeps inwardly over me that some walk on a way despite knowing better, after being enlightened, after having received the word of God, and that they cannot return anymore. I still want to believe that all can be corrected. And yet, this morning, we spoke about these two totally different seeds. If we are born of God, then we will hear the voice of God. We will know that God has pardoned us and all our brothers, that he has forgiven us, that we may be his possession, not of our merit and worthiness, but solely by the grace of our God. Paul writes, if it is grace, then it is not the works of the law. And if it is grace, who wants to glory then? He who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. We are here today to glorify the grace of God, to thank our Lord. And yet, the warning is appropriate that we have to watch carefully which way the people take, whether they take the way of Cain, whether they briefly knock the brother over and let him lie there and walk on. The next step will certainly follow, and that's the one of Balaam, to draw the people of God away. Of course, all under the best pretext. Also Balaam sacrificed 12 oxes, just like the people of Israel did. He has done it to show the people of Israel we are all the same. This is not the case. Moses was the prophet called and ordained by God. Balaam was an uncircumcised heathen to Balak, the Moabite, who came from the connection with Lot and his daughter and who had no right on the people of Israel. This was Balaam, and nevertheless, he caused great damage to the people of God, because at first he did what applied to them. He had the altars built, he had the sacrifices offered. The matter had to be correct outwardly. Sometimes the believers look to the outside, on that what is performed, without seeing through the hidden agenda of the individuals. And then the feast starts with the Moabites, and then God has to strike. Here, three things are given to us as a warning. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Don't believe that there can be somebody who could destroy the people of God. Whoever gets ready to destroy the people of God and the work of God, him God will destroy. That's how it is written. He who destroys the temple of God, him God will destroy. And the temple of God are you. That's how it is written. Peter then goes on to explain it further with the living stones, which are built up unto a spiritual house. But then comes a scripture right in the next verse. This I still want to read now. These are spots in your feasts of love, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Not outsiders, no strangers, but people who walked with the believers, hearing the word together, singing together, participating in the feasts of love, and eating a lot and drinking a lot. And suddenly it gets manifested that they are not part of God's people. Their way will be different. Their attitude will be a different one. Their destination will be different. And you are astonished. You don't recognize the people anymore. It doesn't just seem like that. It is like that. Another spirit got hold of them, and they walk like Cain over dead bodies and don't feel anything about it, except a joy that they did God a service. It should not be thought possible, but it is even written in the word of the Lord that one brother shall deliver up the other brother to death and think he has done God a service by it. You can see in what kind of blindness people can come who feel inwardly a rebellion and who allow this inward rebellion so that it breaks forth openly and gets manifested, then there is no longer any goal set on the way. Then it goes into all directions under heaven, but no more on the way of God, and no more with the people of God. These are people, as described here, who have not the Holy Spirit, who are only enthused for a certain time. They go with, and then they turn away again. Thanks be to God for all of you, and this I mean with all my heart. You who stood your ground, you who have received the word of God in your heart, you who you know that God has spoken with us, until the end, we want to walk on this way of God. Do not allow that an inward rebellion, that something arises in you. Don't allow it. Brother Branham even said at one place, and if you have a strange thought about a brother or about a sister, reject it, bring that thing under the cross. Let us not let anything arise in us that could be directed against a brother or against a sister, so that we could face everyone freely at all times, joined in the love of God, knowing that we walk on the way of God, which leads to eternal life. On this narrow way, there is no room for all the Cain people, or the Korah people, or the descendants of Balaam. On this narrow way, it's the highway of the redeemed, of which the prophet Isaiah has written in chapter 35, it shall be called the way of holiness, and only the redeemed shall walk on it. Hallelujah! Only the redeemed shall walk on it. All the others, they will look at the thing, and you remember what Brother Branham said of the dream of his mother, how a young lady came with high heels, and Brother Branham said, one moment, you can't walk on the way of the Lord like this. And she said, I don't need to listen to you. I know better. She walks onto the way, and you all know the story. You have read it. She passed out and fell into the pit. And only one loud scream could be heard, and she had fallen into the deep. There are people who don't take God and His word seriously. Let us take it to heart today. God is a merciful and a good God, but He cannot make His own program for everyone. All of us, we have to fit into the plan of God, and we may pray with all our hearts, Thy will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. And I am convinced of it, that the will of God takes place. May the people walk on all kinds of ways. Let us walk on the way of the Lord that leads to the destination. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the Word. And if we are in Him, then we are in the Word of God. Then we line up with the Word of God. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This we take to heart. We remember the words. And we are grateful to God that He had apostles and prophets who have spoken and written in the name of the Lord. Today we are in the possession of their testimony. And in Hebrews we read, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses of God, have left unto us the Word of God. We just need to believe and to follow the Lord in obedience. The responsibility for us He has taken. Nobody needs to worry. He who started, He will also finish. He cares for us, that we today, in this hour, notice the difference and would recognize. There were always, and there are still today, and until the end, there will be two different lines. And they go right through the people of God. May God have really given us the grace to love Him and His Word and one another intimately and with all our hearts in the divine love, and esteeming one another higher than oneself. Sometimes also people are coming to the meeting who cannot bridle their tongue. It's not long ago, and thanks be to God for my bad memory. Should the sister be here, whose example I mention now, then I ask for forgiveness. But that could just as well have been in Australia or anywhere else. But a sister told me, not long ago, Brother Frank, just imagine, I come to the services and hear then how a sister tells a matter about me, which is 40 years behind, that I entrusted to her at some point. And she says, from that moment on, they have distanced themselves from me. What a shame! Let us bridle our tongue. I can only advise everyone, he who truly became a believer, may he go to no person anymore. May he no longer confide in anyone. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, our Advocate, our Mediator. To Him we want to come. Him we want to tell everything. People say they have a circumcised tongue. I have another word for it that I cannot say here. But they have not a circumcised tongue, not even a circumcised heart. Let us see the seriousness of the hour. And as we over and again emphasized, everything what could become a curse or disadvantage, let it be buried. Do not care about anything, and if you want to care, then worry about your salvation, so that we can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let us stop with all the things which are in our way. Let us begin with our God, and then we can walk forward. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. We sing "Just as I Am." If we are truly ready to recognize that we are not ordinary people who can do whatever they want, but that God requires from us to follow His word and the guidelines given in it, then may it be now a holy consecration in the presence of God for all of us, that we could be built up on the most holy ground of faith, and that we could really pray in the Holy Ghost out of inner gratitude for that what God has done. We don't want to stand in each other's way nor be an obstacle, just the contrary. We want to be a blessing for one another. We want to encourage each other to walk on the way of the Lord faithfully. And if we would see something on a brother or a sister, then we approach them and say it. And whoever is in the love of God, he listens. He lets himself be corrected. He is grateful for it. For no one wants to be a downfall for anyone. These days shall be days of consecration, of devotion, of a new experience with God. Also now, we feel the presence of God. The Lord is nigh to us. He sanctifies us through His presence. He has spoken with us, and we may take a bath in His word. We may be purified in the blood of the Lamb, and we pray God that He seals us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ. When will He be sealed? When He could accomplish the finished work of redemption in us. He will seal the divine life which He worked in us by His Holy Spirit. The Lord is nigh to us. He wants to circumcise our hearts, our tongues, and glow us through with His divine fire. He wants to reveal Himself anew to us. He wants to manifest Himself anew in our midst as the risen one, as the living one. He is present. He now goes through our rows. We stand all before the Lord, not before one another, but before the living God who speaks to us through His word. We don't see somebody else, but we look into the mirror. But there are also such who take the mirror of the word into their hand, but then they turn around the mirror, and then they just look onto the backside and don't see themselves, but again the other. For what then do we take the mirror of the word into the hand if we turn the thing around and turn the mirror on the next? Let us not do it, but asking God for mercy, that He may help us once for all, so that all depression, all misunderstandings, so that everything can be cleaned up, and that the Spirit of God could give a total breakthrough in the Church of God by His grace. We all have to agree. We all have to take our place and be willing to walk on this narrow way with the Lord, but also with our brother and with our sister. In this way, we want to let ourselves be built up on the most holy ground of faith and pray in the Holy Ghost and thank God for that, what He has done. Beloved, the Lord is nigh to us. God is present. He is in our midst. He has spoken with us. He has convicted us. He corrects us. He comforts. He exhorts and teaches us. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Let us now raise our voices together and thank the Lord. We want to do it now as from one mouth. Faithful God, we thank You with all our hearts for Your grace, for Your presence, for Your precious and holy word. Lord, we see Your way with Your people. We also see how people came on the scene to become a doom for Your people. But Your people hear Your voice. They know You, and You know them. You are the Good Shepherd. You feed them. You lead them. You guide them. Beloved Lord, bless, bless, Lord, bless. Break through. Manifest Yourself in a mighty way. To You, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor, glory and worship, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. All who believe the Lord, say hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. My God. We sing, oh, it is Jesus. Believe it. The Lord has touched us. He is present. Hallelujah. Salvation, healing, deliverance, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether it happened or whether it did not happen yet, Let us raise our hands together and let us expect it from God. Faithful God, with all my heart I thank you that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but the true word of God, the word of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a happy, a liberating, a saving message. Dear Lord, may everything what was reported in the four Gospels take place anew under the proclamation of your Gospel as the restoration among your people. Lord, we thank you for it. You are faithful. You will do it. Blessed and praised be your wonderful and glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It is written, faith is the victory which has overcome the world. And this faith we received as a gift from God by the preaching of the word. Just like this word is reality, so the faith which came into us by this word is a divine reality. Praised be the name of the Lord. We close our eyes and sing only believe. Let us believe it, that God does it now for the praise of His glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated.